This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
So, of course, all lined up along the shore looking for good skipping stones. It was me. It was He-Man. It was Dennis Kucinich. It was Vera Wang. And we are going to see who can do the most skips. And there's sort of an overturned boat out maybe 60 yards out. And we're saying that who can hit the boat, but has to skip at least four times before it touches the boat. You can't just throw it at the boat. That's cheating, Dennis Kucinich.
You threw it
at the boat. You can't do one huge skip that goes all the way, you know, skips right in the middle, Vera Wang. It has to skip four times at least, could skip seven or eight, and then make contact with the overturned boat, He-Man. So, as we're doing this, I'm trying a new technique where I'm almost like backhand flinging it and I'm getting this like sick ass spin and it's going like around like in circles almost and it's fucking like pretty ill, but I'm not getting the distance I want. And we're hearing this noise that's very annoying. That's like,
yeah,
like, help my boat. I'm drowning.
And like you're trying to save them in this way that's like, hey, like we're here. We are here.
We're here. You see, it's possible to be on shore.
Yes. We're showing you what to do.
And also, they're sort of getting pissed.
Away from the boat, there's actually an outside here where there's rocks. Do you hear that? That's rocks.
It's really lead by example, you know, because we're, you know, we're sort of saying like, hey, like this is what you kind of want to be doing. Like, why don't you close your mouth, open your ears and listen for a second.
This and is also, the direction of rocks.
The rock direction, which he's pissed that we're throwing the rocks towards him, but we're not throwing them at him. We're throwing them at the boat. And also, if you just shut up and let us do it, ultimately, He-Man might throw a big enough rock or enough rocks that it actually makes you can stand on it.
So enough rocks are hitting the bow and falling to the floor, and eventually you're standing on essentially an island.
That, well, that's the hope. If only this guy would shut up and stop like criticizing everything, because then he's also like, that technique's not going to work. You can't get the... You don't have the leverage. Like, you're not using your body. It's all arm. And I'm going like, hey, pal, I'm not the one who's drowning in water. Thank you very much. So anyway, I don't totally remember how it all shook out. I was on a bunch of lewds, man. Remember Wolf of Wall Street?
Hey, welcome to Hollywood Handbook, an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names in the red carpet linebacker hallways of this industry we call showbiz. Welcome back, Jamie Loftus.
What up?
Hey.
We're seeing you. We see you. We love you. We admire you. We're doing the show. Jamie.
You honor us by coming and being a part of the show.
I did make a concerted choice. I wanted to be, I like that I'm vertical and you're all horizontal. I think that that is a choice that I made. That's
it really lengthens you out.
You zoom in on the phone?
I do it on the phone.
And I've been vertical myself when I zoom in on the phone.
No kidding.
And the camera's nice. It's all very cool.
I feel like I have more control.
Jamie's, you have a dog and a cat.
I do, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Flea and Sunny.
Have they kissed before?
They, the cat kisses the dog. The dog is a little distant.
For how long?
What do they do it like?
They do it like, okay, so when the dog is very still, the cat comes up behind the dog, puts a paw on the back flank of the dog as if to say, mm-hmm. hey, just checking in.
Hey, just letting you know, I'm about to kiss you.
He checks in.
Hey, if you could just I'm here. I am about to kiss you. I don't want to.
Thing is, the dog has a lot, is very furry, and the cat is very small, so he doesn't usually feel the tap tap for the check-in.
Oh, boy.
And then he just goes straight in for the mouth, licking the back flank. Dog gets mad. Dog puts, you know, a little bit of the cat in his mouth, then he spits it out as a warning.
Just puts a little piece of the cat in his mouth.
Just a little scruff.
Okay.
This part of you now is in my mouth. Think about that, cat.
Remember that next time.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, so I actually did try to warn you, and I actually did indicate that a kiss was coming. So this reaction, I'm kind of like
extremely unwarranted, like, and a bit dramatic. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. He puts his paw on the back flank, which is customary, I'm pretty sure, in an exchange like this. Check mm-hmm. in on the back mm-hmm. flank. If you don't get a reaction, mm-hmm. you know, it's a go ahead. It's a little different for them than it is.
What
for
it
us.
Is, if sure. you're behind someone, it's a light. It's a couple fingers on the hamstring.
Yeah.
And that's saying, kiss coming.
And then kiss on the way.
And that's your opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. To say, hey, I'm busy.
Yes.
That's the equivalent of the package tracker. Where, like, you get the email saying, like, hey, your package is in Arizona now or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, no, stop. Stop it.
Hey,
send it back.
Yes, I'm busy right now.
I don't want. Yeah, it's kind of it's that step in the pizza tracker of like, well, he's mm-hmm. on yes. the way. So it's kind of too late. It would be more work to tell him to turn around.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you should just take the pizza. I think that the dog is not being receptive, but he's got issues of his own that I
he's damaged. Sonny is damaged.
He's damaged goods. He's, you know, he's been getting a lot of
he's honestly damaged bads.
Sonny's fucked up.
He's fucked up. I mean,
God bless him. I like him and I can relate.
He rocks.
Like, Sonny needs to do some work on himself.
That's
the thing is, like, you know, some people can turn themselves around and then others are just like, you know, at the core, not very good.
He sucks. He's fucked. And he's shown no initiative and no desire to really, truly dig in and recognize his own flaws. He puts it on the cat, right? Like,
doubles down on it. Every single time.
To me, that's not cool. That's not an opportunity for growth.
No, it's ugly. He fucking
he's
sucks.
Amazing. Sonny's amazing.
Quality.
I love Sonny. Sonny's incredible.
Sonny's
he
my
is
best friend.
Trash.
He's my hero.
Well, it's kind of complicated because it's like I love Sonny, but the fan base is extremely toxic, and I think the
yes.
two things can kind of be true there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I
yeah.
mean? Like, I
and
can
what is it about
Sonny
that collects a fan base like that? Why do those people gravitate
void.
To Sonny? Mm-hmm. It's not
it doesn't
just a
happen
coincidence.
In the void. That's mm-hmm. exactly right. I mean, and I've read essays on the topic, and I think there's been good points made, and there's been, you know, maybe some overly harsh points made. But there is something in what he's doing that's appealing to the wrong kind of person for me.
Yes.
And he doubles
whether
down.
Whether it's intentional or not, it's if you don't recognize that and then disavow it actively.
Mm-hmm.
Because now by liking Sonny, which I love Sonny, he's my best friend. I could change places with anyone in the world, be Sonny right now.
Oh,
that said, if I do like him, I'm aligning myself with some of the worst people society has to offer, and therefore
yeah.
Sonny must be canceled and Sonny is dead to me.
You have to, yeah, it's like when you appear in a picture with Sonny and you post it to Maine, you know, in stories, mm-hmm. maybe that's a little bit, but if you
yeah.
post you and Sonny to Maine,
that's
an
permanent.
Endorsement.
The Maine feed pics don't come down.
It's
yeah.
I had to, a while ago, I mean, I had the foresight and I'm grateful I did. I scrubbed everything. I took him off Maine.
Mm-hmm.
He is not, you can't find him on my grid. So if you are, you know, coming to me today saying, hey, who's this girl? What's she about? You don't see any toxicity on the main. It's gone. It was there.
They have programs that you can download that will just eliminate Sonny from your online presence entirely. And I am rooting for Sonny. I truly, truly want Sonny to succeed. But Sonny needs to
come
be
back and bite
Sonny
you in the ass.
Needs to be dropped out the window.
He
this
he does
this
he
instant. Does.
Sonny must be eliminated with extreme prejudice, and I'm one of the people who thinks we have to provide Sonny with a path back to society, or else what will become of Sonny and his ilk?
I mean, that's, again, that's a take that can come back to bite you, but I think it actually
shows...
He should
be vaporized.
A lot of... He should be turned into dust. The problem is, you know, there's always a risk when you do something like that, that he might just split and then there'll be two, you know, and that's always been my concern, is that
yes,
there'll just be two of them, and I don't know what I would do.
Either there's one good Sonny and one bad Sonny now,
mm-hmm,
which, like, oh no, or like now there are two very complicated Sonnies.
That's too much for me. I
mm-hmm.
Jamie, cheeseburger choice, go.
What?
Cheeseburger choice.
Cheeseburger choice.
Cheeseburger.
Now.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Cheeseburger choice. Enough fucking around.
I just say want it. I just want one.
One cheeseburger is your choice.
I just want one. Just one.
That's
cheeseburger
final.
Choice. Grilled or in the oven?
Oh.
Baked cheeseburger.
Just one baked. Baked but on low.
Lightly baked cheeseburger.
Lightly baked.
Jamie's choice. So this mm-hmm. is so this is a great segue because, of course, yeah, every episode on our show, we do kind of populist mm-hmm. like content like cheeseburger choice, something that like everyone can sort of relate to. And
it's
home,
super accessible.
They're
our
making their own
the
cheeseburger choice.
I love that.
And yet you have sort of chosen a different path, which is that you yeah. are providing content for a very small, like, sliver of the cultural, intellectual elite in order to get yeah. on, to just kind of, like, have an instant pass to, like, get on Vulture and Paste yeah. and, mm-hmm. like, these other very smart...
It's NPR comedy. It's for super yes. consumers. It's the 30 Rock audience, right? I mean, there's only a couple of them, but
oh my God.
They have
Thank you so
they
much.
All have like unlimited like black cards or whatever.
They have the thing is there's only four or five of them, but they have so much money. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. And they're giving it to Jamie, aren't they?
They're giving a lot of it to me. They're
they
giving
gave
it,
it
a lot
to Jamie.
Of it to me.
Mm-hmm.
The yeah, money's showing up at your house.
It
Which
is,
congrats.
Yeah.
And that's so cool. And we actually would not mind having some of these smart, rich people like us as well. You know, everything we've done so far has been so easy.
Yeah, I agree.
And just kind of fun and light. And it's not really challenging anyone. And it's not asking anything of the audience.
What has it changed, you know?
Nothing. I mean, I guess does
has
it,
the narrative has the narrative been changed?
Well, it delights. I mean, it is, you know, a
I
welcome
like the narrative
I think,
delights.
A welcome salve, a balm on the ills of today, just to sort of mm-hmm. unplug and just listen to something that's just fun and just nice guys talking, being nice. But yeah, we haven't changed the narrative, and I have been looking at your work and I've been thinking about your work and I've been trying to figure it out. And what I'm realizing is, like, this is some smart stuff.
You did Mensa Show.
I did Mensa Show.
By definition, the smartest show.
Yeah. That was the conclusion I reached by the end. Yeah,
anyone did this?
You mm-hmm. do Bechdel cast? I mean, am I even saying that right? But it's like this whole, like, analysis theory. I mean, talk about this stuff.
Yeah, you guys want to talk about feminism in movies?
Hayes, what do you think? Is that good for us?
Well,
I think this is a good topic for you guys.
Have you seen U571?
No, I haven't. Is that one good for women or
it
not?
It is really interesting
good?
Just because what I find really interesting about it mm-hmm. from like a like sort of looking through it from this feminist lens is mm-hmm, mm-hmm. the submarine is a girl.
Oh, yeah. they call her she, her pronouns on the submarine.
They don't, I don't know if they say it. I don't know if they ever say it, but you see it on screen. You're like, okay, that's a girl.
That's okay.
Have you seen K-19, The Widowmaker?
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, really? That surprises me. K-19, The Widowmaker is interesting. And even just in the title, they are focused on the woman's experience, because she will be made a widow by the actions of this submarine, which is also a girl.
Wow. Okay, so it's kind of about their relationship and how they connect and help each other grow. Is there like some growth going on there?
The periscope grows higher when they're trying to find something like up. So there's definitely some growth happening there in terms of like at least a lengthening.
And speaking of which, have you seen Down Periscope?
No, I will say I've heard of it, but I haven't actually seen it.
And now, so this is, and I did not think that we were going to be doing this. I just sort of thought we would like be talking about these movies and you'd be like, oh, I've seen that. Here's my kind of smart perspective on this.
That was the goal,
not seen U571. You have not seen K-19 The Widowmaker. You have not seen Down Periscope. So what's interesting about all these movies is they are all about submarines that are girls.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I mean, it's honestly, a concern that I have is that I come off as a fraud in these situations because you're naming all these feminist movies and I've never heard of them and I don't know what they are.
Yeah, that's really I'm really concerned about that too.
Well, I could feel that. I could feel that coming from, and I guess I want to assure you that, it's a process. It's imperfect. Yeah, I know I haven't seen Down Periscope yet.
Who do you think directed K-19, The Widowmaker?
Can I be honest? The name that came to my head.
Mm-hmm.
What year did it come out?
2012, too.
2002.
2002 or 2012?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I said that.
What was the budget
of the movie?
Yeah, what was the budget? I'm trying to narrow it down.
Including marketing, and the 90 was my guess.
Budget's 90 mil, but obviously marketing just about doubles it for a big studio film like that.
Oh yeah, of course. Okay, and then it did do well, or is it kind of like a cult, more of a cult movie?
It's not for cults. It's for everybody. It's
okay.
It did. Well, in my living room, but are you asking if it recouped the estimate 180 mil? No,
it didn't. It didn't get it back. Well, that's not necessarily a bad thing, right? Mm. Okay, I'm gonna say, was it Ang Lee? Was that one of his?
No, I'm sorry. And now it's time to tell you the real answer is.
What's the answer?
And it's Catherine Bigelow.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
she wanted so badly for it to be a male director.
I'm really sorry, Hayes.
Wow.
I wish I think I have some things that I need to work through with Catherine Bigelow and my internalized misogyny, because I got to be honest. You know, in the big year, I was rooting for Jim. For the Oscar. I was rooting for Jim, and he didn't get it. And I held on to that, and I stopped engaging with her work. And I think that I have suffered as a result.
And now we all pay the price. Mm-hmm. Now the show's
suffering. I haven't seen Detroit.
Mm-mm. But listen, I'm right there with you. If we had been able to see Jim up there, not for like best picture, but like for best director, and him...
Wouldn't it have been
gripping the big fella
in
again?
Her face.
Yes.
It would
and
have been
to
so
announce
nice.
That he potentially remains the king of the world and has been this entire time.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been so happy that night. But good for her. We're happy for her. I liked Point Break. And you know what I like about her is that she's kind of a guy's gal. And and I don't think
I guess that's true.
Enough of that.
She can mix it up with the fellas. Big stogie, a snifter.
I heard that on the set of K-19 The Widowmaker, she was frequently busting chops.
Oh my God. I bet she would, you know, if not do pranks herself, she would engage with them. She wouldn't scold you for doing a prank.
Yeah, sure.
Not
Kathy. It could definitely happen around her.
No, I mean,
and she'd be very normal about it.
But I do think about a lot, what if Jim had won instead of Kathy and come on stage and kind of rubbed in at her face a little bit, you know, and wouldn't that have been a nice
he
moment?
Snags the big fella around its golden midsection.
Clutches it.
Yes.
Clutches it, you know, and you see his long fingernails because you can't, when you're shooting an Avatar movie, you can't clip your fingernails. It's bad luck.
Don't really have a lot of time to go clipping all over here and there and the noise also affects the sound on the movie. If the boom picks up that clipping sound, you're fucked. You're in the edit room forever trying to be like, well, do we have a bell ring or...
Mm-hmm. He's got these long ASMR kind of nails that he would just clutch the thing with and say, hey, Kathy. And then it cuts to her and she is so mad.
And speaking of submarines, he's down there and one of the screws is coming loose. Say, for example, he can use his fingernail, just put it right in there and twist it back around and tighten it again.
No, it's essentially he has a multi-tool on it at all times, and it's his physical hand, which he has adapted to be more useful.
I mean, no one could make the argument that James Cameron doesn't like or respect women because he's in a submarine all the time.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the girlfriend from Pandora was a woman, so, okay.
Think about that. And also, I got to say, we have these insane beauty standards for men where you have to have these short, tight nails all the time, and we just like expect men to like have all this grooming time, and I'm sorry, I don't know when I'm supposed to do that, and it's not comfortable and it's not practical, because how am I going to screw in the submarine? When am I going to do it? I don't like the noise. Like, come on, Jamie.
Sometimes you need some... I think that that's, you know, more important than the discussion of women in film is the discussion of men's nails. And I think that is a side of masculinity we don't see explored very often. And sure, there's been some Cartoon Network shows that have, you know, brushed on it, right?
Yes.
And said, oh, okay, maybe, you know...
Totally
maybe.
Subversive, like, under the radar. It's almost absurdist, right, in the way that they tackle it, because we don't talk about this shit.
No, and then you know, they finally get the recognition they deserve, and then, wait, the show is over, you know? But I do think that...
it's only, like, 8 minutes.
By the time you get to anything good, you're like, oh, it's over and I have to wait.
Yeah.
I mean personally, I think a lot of women would agree, I like a man with very long nails. Mm-hmm. And when you see and you know it when you see it. I've always said this,
yes,
with men who have, you know, kind of longer nails. You know it when you see it, and when it feels right, it feels right.
Imagine Jim up there.
Yeah.
Having secured the bag, which stands for Big Ass Gold Man. It is warm grip. Just pumping it up and down up there.
He puts it down. It's soaking wet.
We should have had that. The Big Ass Gold Man is all wet.
The Gold Man's wet, but his hands are like sandpaper and they're just grinding. Look, gold filings flying off onto the podium as he speaks and sort of winds his hand around it.
He's whittling the man.
That's just the climate of New Zealand that'll do that to your hands.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to get off topic. He should have won. And I think that the world would be a little different if he had.
Mm-hmm. He'd be king again.
It's these little inflection points, where we see where we go, oh, wait, if I actually work backwards, like, this is where it went wrong. And it was with Avatar.
I'm working on an essay for Refinery 29 that kind of explores that.
Congratulations. Oh, my God. Well, don't
Jamie!
Blow by this.
Thank you. I mean, talk about
securing the bag.
You didn't tell
us this. Way to bury the lead. No, it's an essay for Refinery 29.
Yes.
Jamie.
Yes, for Refinery 29. Yes. I know. I was really excited. I was pitching and pitching and pitching and pitching. You know, I sent it out to I reached out to my contacts and said, hey, I really have something to say here and I can't publish it myself, you know, because then no one will take it seriously. So, you know,
word
I got
count?
Some
What's
contacts.
The word count?
Oh, well, okay. So it was supposed, they said originally, you know, 1,500, that'll do, you
wow.
know, and then and they said, you know, we can give you $50 6 months from now. And I
okay.
said,
that's interesting. My experience with them is that they pay actually one tortilla chip per word. And so,
really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that changed, like the scale moved or
well,
whatever.
That's, I only get 3/4 of a tortilla chip. So thanks for bringing that up.
Oh, so it's okay. So it's the money, but also you didn't mention that you
get
3/4 of a tortilla chip.
You know, yeah. I mean, it could be a lot of things. It could just be the price of content is sinking rapidly, which is something mm-hmm. I worry about. But you know, I engaged in a negotiation with the editor. She was 22 years old. And so I said, you know, hey, I've got a little more experience than you do, I think. And I think maybe I should be able to do 2,000 words and graphics.
Wow.
You know, because I think that for this piece in particular, you're going to need a lot of charts to really understand what the impact would have been in terms of box office, in terms of stars, and in terms of the distribution of awards. And so I was able to secure, you know, a contract with her. We've been back and forth, and right now it's running around 3,500 words right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've only hit 2012 in terms of impact. So mm-hmm. I might end up taking the
same
essay,
year, SPA-19, The Widowmaker,
there, and turning it into a book proposal, and then sending that to HarperCollins.
You say like that the person working at there was 22, like it's a surprise, but it's called Refinery 29 because when you turn 29, you are sent to a refinery.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then they take out, they take out all your blood. They make you real dry.
Yes. And your bones are refined into gelatin.
Right. And then they use that gelatin and they, you know, put it in a mold for a while. And then they get a new 22-year-old, you know, after a few months of incubation. And that model has worked very well for them.
It's not a perfect system, but it's a damn good one. And if you think you could do better, I'd love to hear it.
I don't think anyone's out contenting them. I haven't read a sharper critique of Joss Whedon's work 20 years later. I'll say that right now.
I haven't gotten my news anywhere else other than Jordan Klepper when he was on. But that is a different medium
entirely.
Oh, I miss
Klepper. I hope they give Klepper another chance.
Hollywood Handbook.
Hey, gang. Looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the mom in your life? Well, Aura Frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. You can find the hottest, most beautiful pictures of your mom for Aura's annual MILG event. MILG, that's Mom I'd Like to Gift. This Mother's Day, let your mom know you'd love to gift her. She's a MILG. Tell her that. From grandmothers to new mothers to aunts, even the friends in your life, they all can be MILGs. They're moms, and you'd like to gift them. So go ahead and find the most gorgeous pictures of your MILG, upload it to an Aura frame, give it to her, and you will be awarding her with the best digital photo frame as named by Wirecutter. Selected as one of Oprah's favorite things? Okay, that's big MILG energy. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to MILGs of all ages. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. That's right, listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code THEBOYS at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Celebrate your MILG!
Hey, did you guys know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about like maybe 3-4 subscriptions. I couldn't believe it when they showed me I was paying for 5 million subscriptions every month. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, just never ending. I had subscribed with the police for a permit to smoke trees. This was many years ago. I mean, like, I barely used it. I haven't smoked trees in many, many years. And they make it so hard to cancel. You have to go to the police station. They're like, you sure? Sure would be nice to, like, smoke down a big-ass tree right now. And, like, they just make it seem more appealing than it actually is. Thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on that subscription. Any other, they went down to the police station for me. They talked to the chief. Like, they make it so easy. They find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions. They monitor your spending, help you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. You have full control over your subscriptions, a clear view of your expenses. They're all in one place. Over 5 million users. They've saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions because, yeah, I mean, each one, just like do the math. I had 5 million. Each would cost $100. Saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/theboys. That's rocketmoney.com/theboys, rocketmoney.com/theboys.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hollywood Hamburg.
Now, Jamie, you are now doing this other smart podcast, and it's about this the classic books. And the book is Fajita. Talk about this.
It's Fajita. It's also by Vladimir Nabokov. He famously kept a lot of notes. Fascinating guy. Made his wife carry him around everywhere.
Wow! Like a baby Bjorn or something, right?
As they got older, a Bjorn became necessary. But for the first 25 years of their marriage, it was just with her arms. Not a critique on him at all, but his weight did fluctuate, and so she was but she would carry him around, and he would write on these little note cards as she carried him around the block, and he wrote a draft. I think this would have been in the late 40s, kind of a meditation on what it's like being a first generation Russian in America, and it was called Fajita. And it was too controversial to publish, but after pulling some strings, I got a look at the note cards, and you'll have to listen to the podcast, but I do agree it's the most fucked up thing I've ever read in my life.
I have a suggestion for the theme song.
Oh, yeah.
I'll do it right now.
Please, please, please.
Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Where's this going?
Vegeta. Oh, fuck. Fuck, fuck, fuck. I said it bad.
Fuck. We can pick up just that piece. I have an outro theme song. I mean, I know probably the way in, but I have a pitch. You don't have to use it, but
this is being recorded, right? We can just do that.
Well, yeah, let's see if this is a good take, we can just put that on. So it's
let's do it.
I want my baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back. I want my baby back, baby back, baby back. I want my baby back, baby back, baby back. I want my baby back, baby back, baby back. Chili's baby back fajitas. Chili's baby back fajitas, barbecue sauce fajitas. So
wow.
So that
went really smoothly.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not trained or anything. I'm quite musical.
You're cute.
But I have no training. I have no not like the technical piece of it makes no sense to me. I think would ruin it because I'm quite musical, just sort of naturally.
I mean, I can just hear in the way you attacked that note with such confidence.
Mm-hmm.
It was incredible. Mm. Yeah, I mean, I would use honestly either of those. I think that, you know, Sean, your outro goes perfect into an ad for. I mean, I personally, I'm going to be so comfortable recording ads, being like, "Hey, if you're enjoying this podcast, maybe you want some leggings that cost $500,000. Like, mm-hmm. I know that this is it's like when you listen to a podcast and it's about, well, the murder of someone that they don't know, right? Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, and you're like, oh, this is so sad. But then you're like, wait a second. Should I get HelloFresh? And then it's like, yes, you should. And, you know, put in code INNOCENT. I think that, and then you get 20 there. That would be a good experiment if they were like, hey, if you think they did it, you get 10% off. If you will say on record they're innocent, we'll give you 30% off.
Wow.
That's a good system. And then, Hayes, I think I can use that intro and then I'll just correct it at the end, at the beginning of every episode. I'll be like, he meant fajita. And welcome to the show.
And he actually said right after that he knew that it was wrong and that he said it bad. But he did. He said that right after.
He got nervous, but I got nervous.
And say that was the first time I ever did it.
And with mine, say that I panicked as well. In case anyone doesn't like it, say that I was having a panic attack actively, and that I didn't even intend to sing, and that just kind of came out of me. Do say that I was freaking out and visibly pretty upset, and like boogers were coming out and stuff.
Hey everybody, that was my friend. It was his first time doing
Sean.
It, and
his name's Sean.
That was Sean.
That's okay.
If you think she's innocent, do I have a toothbrush for you?
Now we can give some advice on the toothbrush ads if you need any guidance. Just sort of some do's and don'ts that we've encountered.
Oh, okay. I would love them. Yeah, because I've gotten some notes back from the toothbrush folks. I'll be honest. Mm-hmm.
Do say it goes in your mouth.
I've never
That's
even
a do.
Okay, I haven't been clear enough with my fan base about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Same.
And if they say they don't want to do the ads anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just keep getting sent ads because somebody didn't get told. Do not tell them.
Do the ads.
Just act like nothing happened.
Mm-hmm. Even if you've received two separate emails saying that they were very angry with you and did not want to advertise with you anymore, that's not the email that matters. The email that matters is the one that says, here's the ad for this week from a totally separate person who hasn't talked to the like department in charge of those decisions.
Well, yeah, that's just I guess logic.
If
you love the product, yeah, you love the
can
product.
Relate?
You know
who can I relate?
Who can relate? You know, I just love the products.
Separate from any name of any product or anything, would you like if you learned about your toothbrush that they were of such a superior quality and that the vibrating mechanism was so gentle yet effective that if a burglar were to break into your house, like in the famous urban legend where the set of criminals shoved a family's toothbrushes up their butt while they're on vacation and then took photos of it with a camera. And when the film was developed later, the family saw that they had been brushing their teeth this entire time with toothbrushes that were in their butt. Actually this particular toothbrush could prevent that from ever occurring because the sensation of having the high quality, and I'm not going to say the name of the toothbrush, but...
No need. I mean, I feel like it's implied.
When you say high quality, you know what it is.
Yeah, you know exactly what it is, because it starts with a Q as well. And that the sensation of having it up there would be so pleasant for the criminal that they would actually need to take it with them and not be able to complete the prank on you. Boy, wow. That'd make me sleep better at night.
Yeah, I feel so safe. I would throw my Nest Cam in the trash, and I would be able to, well, all I need is this high quality toothbrush. And they were mad about that?
And they were being babies.
They were being babies. That's honestly, that's embarrassing for them.
They were rip shit.
They fucking rip on you guys?
They went rip shit.
I gotta be honest, they liked us a lot.
Mm.
They liked us a lot, but it was because we were, you know, we were sucking up. We were sucking up big time. I needed extra tops, so I started sucking up. They sent me my tops. I recorded an extra ad. I'm like, hey, thanks for the tops, guys. And they said, hey, no hooked. Problem. Yeah. I got a ton of tops. I got a cabinet full of tops.
Mm-hmm. Jamie's, we have
to
do.
Talk to them.
One second. We have to do one of these books, smart podcasts. We are doing it.
It's an emergency, okay. And we need to because we're dying.
Right. Okay. So what are we?
Someone playing the tambourine.
I think Kevin is.
Kevin, are you playing a tambourine? I just keep hearing tambourine sound.
The listener won't hear it though. I put my tambourine plugin on. it's called D-Tamb.
It's a soundboard.
That's really loud for us.
What's going on? Yeah. I need perfect concentration to execute this podcast.
This is okay. I remember what this is. This is Kevin, and this is really problematic in my opinion. Kevin wants to be known around town as Jeffrey Tambourine.
Kevin, I mean, maybe that would have been fun a couple years ago.
I know,
but it's certainly not now. It's not funny anymore.
No.
Oh, that's honestly, I mean, there's just, I have a small list of people in my head that I'm like, that would be so disappointing. And there it is.
He has this
Kevin
song.
Is on that list for me. It would be so disappointing.
This song called Jeffrey Tambourine Man that like he does in this Dylan, but he's like, hey, Jeffrey Tambourine Man, play a song for me. Larry Sanders and Arrested and Transparent Rule. And it's like, I agree those are three good shows, but I don't know why you want to associate yourself with that person in particular. It's just not, I don't know.
Jason Bateman likes my song.
Yeah.
And Will Arnett, they defended it.
Oh, yeah, on Smartless.
Well, you know, okay. Kevin, that's a big letdown. And it's going to, and honestly, I think something that you should keep in mind is that affects your friends too. And that, you know,
they want to be involved. I only have one tambourine. I could buy more.
Well, now anyone who's posted you to Maine has to reconsider, you know, and then there's going to have to be a new plugin to get you off of Maine.
This is Sunny all over again.
You got to get scrubbed from Maine.
I'm the Sunny.
Well, yeah.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Well, we had to, you already had to scrub, you know, all of yours and Sunny's collaborations. And so when I think the YouTubers find it, it's going to, and they start making essays. It's all going to make sense. They're like, well, these guys were working together in the mid 2010s. Of
Sunny
course
convinced
this would
happen. Me. I was
the
innocent.
Refinery 29 circuit boards are going to crash. There's servers will overheat.
Yeah, I have to confirm a few things, and then I have to send out some proposals because being early to this essay means that they'll get you $50 in 3 months.
Ooh,
which would be really big for me.
I have a question that involves a little bit of number crunching, and just because we do have someone who is genius level on here, I wonder if you can figure out in terms of individuals in this country who are responsible for the spread of COVID-19, would you say that our president is rapidly approaching Sonic the Hedgehog levels?
Ooh.
And if you could crunch the numbers on this, that would be great.
Now, I'll do a little bit of crunching. I will say that that's a Refinery 29 essay right there.
Mm-hmm. Sonic the Super Spreader.
Yes. That's exactly. I would say that at this point, you know, you might as well just say it. We're all thinking it, and you might as well just say it. And I think that you should. I would recommend disseminating that news as quickly as humanly possible.
Okay.
I never. And when you put it that way, it kind of all brings it into like sharp focus for me.
Mm-hmm. Suddenly, you go, maybe this guy's not doing a very good job. I mean, he's practically.
He's practically as bad as Sonic. I totally agree. I think you got to get good graphics for that. If you fumble the graphics on that, I don't think that the message is gonna be very clear.
If Sonic would have just worn a mask,
things would be so different.
Whatever. It's a. Mm-hmm. It happened. It's, you know.
It's impossible.
That would also have been easier for them to fix the first
no
one
kidding.
Than the second one.
No, they spent all this money redoing the teeth or whatever. It's like, was put a fucking mask on.
Yeah, yeah, if he had just been wearing a mask and staying inside, we
pretty
could have
powerful
avoided
message.
So much. Yeah. I think that, yeah, it would have set a better precedent if Sonic had just stayed the fuck inside for that movie. Sorry to swear on the show.
Gotta go fast. How about gotta stay home?
Gotta stay home and socially distance, even from my roommates.
Could have saved a lot of lives.
I mean, when I watch Sonic, I'm like, Sonic and James Marsden, they're a little too close. They're a little too close for my taste. Who directed that one? Was that...
That was me. That was your
that
boy.
That was you.
Yeah, was that, I was on the... Yeah, was, I was okay. at the helm
the
for that one.
Wow.
That was your dude. Your main dude right here. I was on the ones and twos. And so, yes.
Sean physically removed impressive. Every one of Sonic's original teeth.
Wow. Mm-hmm. For the reshoots?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's impressive. I mean, I admire the hell out of that. That, it to me, is on the same level. I mean, it's on the same level as when, you know, the star plays two parts instead of one, and he's playing his own brother, and you're like, now, wait a second. Who's in the reverse shot? And it's... But then the movie is so good, you forget.
Yeah.
What did you do with the teeth?
What did I do? I mean, I got it. I grabbed my Leatherman Skeletool and I pried them out. But like, what did I do with them afterwards?
Yeah.
Put them under my pillow.
Oh, nice. Did it do anything?
I'm still waiting. You know, I'm still waiting on that. I'm dropping hints around the house. Well, it'd be nice if Tooth Fairy would...
I'll say this because we've talked about it. They stink.
They
absolutely smell like shit.
They smell really, really bad. Yeah.
What, they've been there since
they
when?
Were made out year? Of fish just for budget reasons. They were comprised mostly of fish meat.
Pressed
oh,
fish.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It just reads on camera. It's like how ice cream on camera is often just a scoop of mashed potatoes because like
the way the light
reads the
hits
same
it,
to the
yeah.
lens and it's, and you don't have to worry about it melting. And so, yeah, it was just easier.
I bet it was
fish.
A nice treat for Sonic as well. I mean,
sucking on fish.
Yeah,
meat.
Every once in a while he could suck out one of his own teeth. And...
Mm-hmm.
Could work through lunch that way. That's nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You'd think they would have been easier to get out.
Okay,
too,
Sonic,
but...
can you? Sonic's going to take lunch. Can we take 1 second for lunch for Sonic, please?
And then he would just suck on his mouth really hard? Yep. Is that. Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's a book that we do, and we'll just do it like for 1 second?
We only have like
smart
a minute
book
to do
podcast.
The book. Smart book,
yeah.
Please.
Okay. Well. Okay. I don't have any books in this room. Let's see.
And again,
don't have it be making
so,
fun
oh,
of me,
God.
Please.
Do you? I don't. You know. Okay.
And she didn't see any of the submarine movie, and I'm really sorry to do this, but like you have to have a book.
I do feel
for,
like
when you're in these situations, you talk about doing. Smart show, you have to have a book
behind me
in your room,
please.
You're right. But for me, I have so many books that they're in a library, and that's just a whole separate room. I don't need books in my bedroom because
nice
you know I'm not insecure. You know, I don't need. I oh, what am I going to do? Read a book in my bed? No way.
Here we can
they're
do
all
this
digital.
One. I have so many books here.
You got a book? Okay.
We can do this
book?
One. This one is called Spaceman's The Ultimate Book.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
We can do a podcast about this. So okay. How do you, like, you read it?
You read it first, and then you have your friend.
Before anything, you don't do an episode that's like, okay, here
well,
I go, or like,
opening it up. Hey, what's yeah.
well,
what, here's the copyright date.
If you sort of know what happens, you can just kind of be like, nah, this is probably what it's about, and then just go back and skim and check. Just be like, oh, I think I was pretty close. And then no one listening is going to read the book.
That's interesting because they listen to the show.
They listen to the show for me to tell them what the book is about.
This is called Spaceman, the Ultimate Book. So I have to assume that it's a biography of James Marsman, Sonic's friend.
Mm-hmm. Is it a biography, autobiography? I don't know. I haven't read that.
He checks in every once in a while. It's mostly biography, but
he just verifies
every
James
couple
Marsman
pages.
James here.
It's in a different font.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And then what's your
he's
angle?
He's hanging on the top of the page, kind of like he can actually physically interact with the book. So he's getting stuck in the middle sometimes, and he's like, holy smokes, like, let me out of here. He uses Cyclops powers. Splits the book in two halves.
Whoa. So what are you going to talk about on the podcast then? The book sounds fucking awesome.
And you say, there's a part there that's like, it says James Marsden is unhappily divorced, and he takes his Cyclops powers and takes the un... and he lasers it.
And the book starts burning in your hand.
Actually, I'm very happily divorced.
I really like, I mean, that's good.
I don't even know if that's true. I don't know if anything in this book is true.
No, I don't. I don't think I learned anything, but I had a blast.
I mean, you watch him go on a journey, right? He's on his journey, and that's kind of more what matters, is he's lasering out his truth.
He does go to Journeys, sneaker store. Yeah. He gets some Rocket Dog shoes.
He's got, I bet he takes the little hat hook himself. He doesn't wait for an employee. He takes the hat hook himself. He says, no problem, I've got this. And then he gets the hat right on top and just tosses it over his shoulder. No problem.
He is divorced. I just looked. Shit.
Is it happier? Does it specify on Wikipedia whether it's happy or unhappy?
I didn't mean to talk about that.
Wait, let's see.
I didn't know if any of that was real.
Well, it says in parentheses, happily.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so it seems like it's probably not a big deal. Not a big deal.
Phew.
I wouldn't worry about it. It seems he's gone on the record.
And people, get pissed at me. It's like, okay, so you think James Marsden should have to stay married forever no matter what is in his best interest or best interest of his family? Okay, I actually think he should be able to do whatever he wants.
Oh, if you bring up James Marsden's marriage, people are just immediately going to come right at you and say, well, humans don't necessarily mate for life.
The mob gets their pitchforks.
Yeah. Jeez. Mm-hmm.
No, it's
so
true.
Toxic. So toxic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like Sonny's fan base.
What is this, March of the freaking Mr. Popper's Penguins over here?
Holy shit.
Dude, really cool question.
When's this new show come out?
Yeah, what time?
Oh, why? It comes out at the end of November.
What time?
Don't say the end of November. Oh,
I know. I don't want to make you think about it. This is, can I just say, this month is going to feel so long. Sometimes I'm like, is it October 312?
Yes, and what's a month? And it's like October 512.
That's what's been a problem with the marketing for this show, is I say it comes out in late November, and then everyone always responds with, oh, no, not November. Don't even make me think about November. And then they shut it off. They just shut it off before they shut it up. They shut me out. They kick me out. They hang up. Wow. By any means necessary. They stop engaging. It comes out in late November.
And we can be assured that Sonny will be punished by then, correct?
Sonny will, it's impossible to know, where things are going to be with Sonny. Things are currently...
Well, I think it would be good if you pledged that Sonny would receive a major punishment.
On mic?
Certainly between now and the punishment that Sonny receives does not have to be on mic.
Because I don't want to just, I don't want to just berate my dog on mic for a vulture write-up, right? You know,
yeah. I'll take you at your word that the punishment will be severe, but I think that promise would mean a lot to your listeners.
I worry about, giving, you know, giving him too much of a lead and knowing a punishment's coming, because he might just run away. So I don't feel comfortable making that pledge at this time, but I will say that there is a pledge forthcoming. And if you follow me across all social media platforms, that's where I'll be giving updates on when the punishment is going to be happening, whether there is going to be a live stream link or whether it's actually going to be kept privately in the family.
The punishment.
Wow.
Yeah. It depends. Or I might just throw him to the skunks. It's kind of impossible to know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm.
Feed him to a skunk.
Yeah. He got sprayed in the mouth and the eyeballs by a skunk the other day. But stinky. He just stinky, stinky, stinky.
Stinky eyeball mode.
Yeah, his eyeball still smells like a big skunk ass. But it is what it is.
Take a big whiff.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
It's outward manifestation of an inner condition, if you ask me.
Goodbye.
That was a HeadGum podcast.